Welcome. I've written a few copies of the meetings that I just posted out. It's kind of similar to last week, all the same. A few weeks ago, we started looking at different ways that we can distribute, essentially, matrix solve or whatever, and how to form the values in that. And Carl and Travis has been putting quite a lot of work, although he's run out of time and got frustrated because he didn't have enough time to actually devote to doing the job properly, and was re-soliciting that we actually have to employ someone to get on and actually do it, which is part of the energy behind the fact that I dug out the job description from December and sent it to Peter again. Peter and I have been talking about what we're going to have to do in terms of employing some people to try and keep things moving without Kerry and Andre. So there's lots of possibilities. And I think the biggest challenge, again, we've said over and over again for this, is just actually finding someone to do it. But we'll try and advertise and see what Peter can do. I had a rack around looking at global arrays as I was writing this agenda this morning. I don't know if anyone else has looked at stuff. Carl has looked at some things. Travis had a go with that. I don't know. People who aren't here, it's from Mercy for everyone. Travis had a good go with Diablo 95, which is what he used in Los Alamos, so he thought that it would be simple, but he discovered that the version that's freely available is quite different than the version that he used at Los Alamos, and therefore it wasn't as trivially as he thought. I mean, he could have easily have some matrix and then just had solved it, so long as he did it all kind of regular and nice, whereas he was trying to make no assumptions about which piece went where and this sort of thing, which I think is probably vital for our sorts of problems that we want to do. And as soon as he tried to do that, he was basically writing out some code, and so that wasn't going to happen quickly. So after what we talked about last week, you spent a bit of time looking at Mythos. Can you talk to you about it?
Yeah, he was quite pleased with Mythos, saying that it was easy to get going and
work
straight away.
So this is a partitioning
process? Yeah. I think it comes down to GPL. No, it wasn't GPL. It was that tells you what's going to be on what node, but doesn't actually start communicating. What did you think of global arrays? Did you get far enough to have any impressions?
My impression was that it looked eminently suitable without having used it to do anything. So it's like, how can you really tell because it never actually touched it? But it certainly looks like it's trying to approach the problem that we want, and then you declare an array and it distributes stuff and works out the communication based on kind of how you use it, really. It's designed for non-known in advance distribution so that you can do this sort of thing. They've put a lot of work into the thing that it runs alongside MPI or something, so it actually is using MPI underneath somewhere.
But you can use it separately as well.
Yeah, but you can use it. But what it does is that if you request something that's not available on your machine, if you're using MPI, as I understand, to let machine A supplies it for you and you request it, whereas you've done a lot of work in trying to create an efficient infrastructure, which you can actually use as a separate program, which allows you to fetch values from other machines without blocking them and having to poll with your code on the other end. So they've got a lot of stuff about that. And then it forms your own array, and there's stuff about ghosting and different things, although it looked like a lot of that then went back to being based on square patterns. I don't know whether that was actually useful.
MPI 2 does start to provide one side of remote memory access, but it's still probably lower level than global arrays. Like you can declare a window and then it's available on different systems which you need to handle the blocking force out.
Yeah, well, the global arrays has a bunch of operations and collects and scatters and gathers and blocks and stuff on bits of memory and stuff. And so it tries to work hard to provide you, you know, local versions of what you're actually working on. Sort of thing. I imagined.
It's promising so far, I haven't actually tried using it yet, but it's what's used by the PC, what they used to think in this new project. Yeah, it looks like it's fairly actively maintained in that solution. So, implying it's stable as well, the additions they're making are adding features rather than procedure bug fixes. Attrition in C, but in object-oriented memory, that's what training and classes and itself UPL. But what it provides is a sort of dynamic distribution of data and some several algorithms for trying to rearrange your data. And it also provides sort of a set of tools for communication for unstructured meshes. So all the sort of goals and all the marketing it provided all made it look like it was a useful tool for us. And we actually got things in the
basis.
Lib mesh is something that I don't know, maybe we should keep on it, but it's a free final element library. It's built on top of PETSD for parallel size and it uses a, I think the name of it right now, but it uses a parallel library for sort of low-level maps too. So it shows a map and from one we should look into. But the...
It uses what parallel?
They support quite a few different types of elements, so they're trying to do sort of higher order elements, but they didn't, the cubic immense don't seem to be there. They have a C1 continuous triangular element, and that has derivatives that acknowledge, and so some of the infrastructure is there if we want to add a cubic immense table. Perhaps we should be asking it to make a C1 continuous triangular element, so good enough.
I'm of the view that the way that we're going to make decisions is actually having someone's task and and even they might have to have several goes. I think we may say, you know, try these three different ways of doing it, see where we get to. So I don't know how else. Gendering examples from Paul for the last 3 months, which achieved nothing. I've been down and actually Thursday, last Thursday afternoon, Paul and I sat down for a couple of hours and I made him rewrite and wrote an example as he saw it, which was quite fruitful. We were doing a linear cube, a linear 2D element store, and promoted a lot of discussion. There's still tons of things about the way he thinks the world is and I had that are totally different. The one thing that I'd never realized before is he kind of imagines a top-down sending of these parameters. Part of the reason he always has his global parameter list is that if you create a 2D element, he doesn't necessarily, he has all these ideas about templates and topology, and then at the last minute you assign all these values to it, and so you can build up this big mesh with all these joint complicated topology things, and you essentially out of thin air assign these values. Now, that's how he sees it conceptually. I mean, he admits that that's not workable pragmatically because you want to build a mesh with stuff in it. So it's kind of like, it's very unclear how this will actually work out in practice again, which is what I'm trying to force us to iron out. But I think that we made a lot of progress. He wanted to write on the whiteboard rather than anywhere else, so I think they need to show again. But we only wrote about this stuff, so it's just exactly like before. Here I have an element that has basis functions and it has values and tables. I'll try and fix that up, or maybe I'm gonna do it again this Thursday, as I believe, and I'll probably take my computer and write what he writes in the whiteboard on my computer, and we'll try and get more than one element, and maybe do a cubic meter element. This is all the things where they're just a collection of values, and I say, well, we need names, and then kind of assumes that's implied, but it's all those details that I need to have sorted out so that when I'm implementing. And I've had a good go before, twice now, and it seems like I've got to do it with Paul, so I can accept that I've done it. And it'll be much better if two people do work through the issues and problems. But yeah, I'm frustrated because it's way too long. Before I said 3 months was my time limit, and I'm doing it. Still doing a linear score. I mean, over the last month though, Paul and I have got a lot more on the same page, which is one of the things I've moved on my brain. As well as that, I printed out the job description that we wrote a while ago, and let's look at it again, the same as what it was in the syndrome.
Strange though, because people ring up and you tell them that over the phone.
So it's written here mostly for our own information.
Okay. Maybe, do you want to add some details about distributed memory programs? Do you want to actually be specific about things like NPR? Mm-hmm.
My gut feeling is that distributed memory is they're probably going to be thinking in NPR if they read that.
They don't, and they may not know what enough.
Yeah, that's
true.
I mean, yeah, we could put comma specifically in PI or something. That
that's weird. You're right.
But I do see your point, because we've mentioned specific languages.
Yeah.
And then we've got them vaguely described.
Yeah.
And this is
awesome.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it'd be pretty brave to build something that wasn't based on NPI.
If we settled on Python over
Perl
or any other script
languages? We kind of mumbled that at the time. I mean, I can be strongly convinced, but it's just like none of it actually uses it.
And when this person use scripting language?
I expect not necessarily, but I expect them to be able to provide an interface to and therefore.
We don't want someone who's scared off by having to deal with a scripting language.
Okay. They have to be able to spell Fortran as well.
No.
I think we might as well get this out there.
Yep.
There's few people out there to get
this. Oh, you'll probably get heaps of applicants, but none of them will be what you want.
Okay.
You run the risk that that first paragraph is scaring off essentially computer programmers that know or care about physiology.
Yeah, and it's not that important.
Maybe you could reorder. I mean, I think it's good to stick something like that, isn't it?
Okay, so you open with redeveloping? Yes, you do.
Yeah, why not?
So this all belongs with information, just below information on CNN.
Yeah. In fact, it could go just above it and then say further information on CNN.
I agree.
Do you want to mention object-oriented programming, or do you want to read that as well?
It's implied in Python and C++.
you can do both without being object-oriented, and we may do.
Maybe
object-based without being object-oriented, I guess.
You've lost me.
You basically your data structures are object, they don't contain methods.
Sure. But I mean,
you may do if you were doing it all in Fortran.
Yeah, but even if you wrote it all in Fortran, I'd imagine that you'd write methods even if they're not explicitly attached to the thing.
Yeah.
Writing this object, get me there, even though you're not a function, but you might not have a function point instead of your object.
Are you going to post this on sort of those comp sci lists, mat lists, and other places, or just use the university?
But it hasn't been really clear. I don't know what Peter had in mind.
The end of that second paragraph should probably be
with this, often they use often they use
Andrew Lewis, can you make
just for that Travis Hitchfield in the American program.
Normal, most of those jobs, like computer jobs, selling people use, or recruitment agents.
Greg said, I think the second existing paragraph should be finite elements or finite element methods.
Methods for methods.
Or mathematical operators.
Do you want to say we use, if that paragraph is at the top, do you want to put the bioengineering circular instead?
We.
Otherwise it's good, because when you start talking about
We must admit at the University of Auckland because it's going out under a crease.
I don't know. I mean, it depends if it's sent to these lists,
University of Auckland, New Zealand, the world.
No, you're right.
But in the second list, you want
New Zealand to be.
It's in the second existing paragraph before
mathematical operations. So, before mathematical finite elements.
End of March, and Peter said, that's too long, and wanted to make it the end of February or something, as I recall, but if it went out tomorrow, I'd be okay with 2 months.
Every other month.
Well, it does mean, if somebody does come along, you don't have to wait your extra month
to close the job and get into problems with lawyers.
1 month is probably enough.
Okay.
Maybe there's some middle point between Peter's expectations and yours.
Do you need to allocate a new meeting unit to take it?
When
do
you
need for next week?
When you start?
This Monday. Yeah. Who can operate that thing? Nobody.
We did mention it in this group some months back.
and Paul probably
wouldn't be myself.
Yeah, right.
We've just got something from you.
I'm going to try to
get a week.
To our post,
don't you?
Or
they
decide.
Okay,
that's right. Why don't you do a presentation?
You like
it.
I won't be right.
Yeah, what was the intended focus?
No, it's just promotion and... Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of nearby.
So the abstract is left in the 7th of April. 3rd of April. I am too kind of seen it because there's only 10 of you.
It's not abstracts, are they? They're full page papers.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool.
You do actually have to have something to draft on. Are you submitting one as from like the Salamel end of the group?
Yeah, I'm there at Salamel and I can come to the room if
so you're going to
the garden?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going. Oh. Wednesday, I think. Good. Okay, I'll see you.
Very evil.
Yeah.